Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit.
Hello, everybody. This is Thursday night edition of the Philly Bill Show. Today is Thursday the 12th of June. Bill said to say hello. Running a little late today. Just had enough time to slide into this chair and load everything up. Somebody asked me if I still had an interview that we did with Rusty Coons a little while ago, and I do, and I'm going to play that right now. So sit back and enjoy, and I'll be back intermittently. Thank you.
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like you to take people back to where Attica 7 started, you know, realizing for the first time that you may never see daylight again.
Yeah.
And what your emotions were like when you were putting these songs down on paper and how you got that inspiration. Okay?
Yeah, visualize yourself in a cell, 6x8, 8x12, whatever it is. You've just been ripped out of society with a possibility of never having a chance to ever see your family again outside of a cell somewhere or a visiting area in a prison while you're either shackled behind glass or under guard. And you're not expecting any of this to happen. It just happens. And all of a sudden, everything you've held dear, everything that you love is out of your reach. You know, it changes the way you think about things. It changes the way you think about what you do. Instead of just going out randomly and doing what you feel like doing, it makes you think before you do those things with those large consequences. And when you're in a motorcycle club, you're going to pay twice the consequence, maybe three times, maybe four times of what the average person is going to pay for any action that you may take, or even a reaction to being attacked yourself. You become not the victim, but the perpetrator defending yourself because you're in a motorcycle club. So you have to think about all these things every day. It's like walking on the edge of a razor blade. And when you're doing your time, it's like walking on the edge of a razor blade the whole time you're in, because you don't want to lose your good time, but you can't be weak. So you have to do whatever you got to do to survive honorably while you're on the inside. Then when I got sentenced after being in over 21 months in MDCLA, they shipped me around a little bit, put me in the hole in a few other places waiting for my paperwork to come through, and then I got sent up to Oregon to a prison up there, and while I was up there, I was working out in the yard at least 5 days a week, and I rediscovered music totally by accident. I wasn't even into music. I knew how to play guitar. I played since I was 9. Took lessons from the time I was 9 till the time I was 15. Learned how to read, write music, finger picking, classical, the whole deal. But then I got out of it, got into motorcycles, and just picked up the guitar every once in a while, sometimes not for years. But it was in my head. The structure of music, the feeling, it was all there. So I don't know what happened, but after being up there for a few years, I was walking past this room where they did a lot of band rehearsals and the band program for inmates, and I just got inspired to start playing. And I joined a blues band, actually a blues rock band, and I said, I'll come in, I'll play bass, guitar, I don't care. So they said, all right, come in and play bass. Well, I came in, the bass player hadn't gone home yet that I was replacing, so I played guitar, and they said, no, we want to keep you on the guitar. So I said, all right, you mind if I write some songs? They said, yes. So I wrote one song the next week, another song the next week, and I was writing new music every week. Then they had a riot up there, and they sent me to Texas. And when I got to Texas, I took a whole portfolio of my music with me. And 3 days after I got out of the hole up there, I was playing a concert in front of all the inmates. It was like 1,800 people in that yard who were playing all my music. But that's because that was a blues, like a heavy blues. That's what I started writing was blues originally, kind of a blues rock, really really heavily distorted. And then I gravitated towards down-tuned music while I was there. I did a lot of covers and my own music for quite a while. Played it all the holidays. Then I think I wrote 32 songs over there. I've got all of them still, everything in the same paper I wrote it on. And I got so into it that I just decided when I get out, that's going to be my goal. I'm going to build a big band around good musicians, solid musicians, not a bar band, not a cover band, and it's just evolving into what I've wanted it to be.
What would you say is your favorite Attica 7 song?
That's hard to say, but Devil's Daughter, Serial Killer, All or Nothing, Lockdown. I can keep going, man. It ended up being the whole damn album almost.
I got to agree with you with that. I mean, there's not a bad song on the CD. But can you take us back to where you were physically and mentally when you wrote one of these songs and what was going through your mind there?
When I wrote Lockdown, I was in a cell. And if you listen to the lyrics in Lockdown, it's an inmate, and it's definitely a serious prison song. Another one, No Redemption, wearing a number on your chest, having eyes in the back of your head, because that was the thing. You always had a number on, and you had to have eyes in the back of your head all the time.
Do you feel that had you not went to prison, that you would be where you're at today musically?
If I didn't go to prison, Attica 7 wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be playing music. It completely changed my life when I went in there. I redirected my thinking, and I'm glad. I love the music. I love what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing with my business, building these bikes. I love the music even more. And the TV, the different things that I'm into now, I mean, I'm enjoying it every day. That's one thing I can say is out of that experience, when I finally did get out, I appreciate every day. Even a bad day is a great day.
One of the things that I noticed that when I went out to cover the Uproar tour is after I saw your band, there was an it factor, a magic, a something that that people can relate to and forget about problems and stuff like that with your music, and I fully believe that people are going to jump into your genre from others and come together with your music. What do you feel is the reason for that?
I think one of the reasons that that our music is so universal, it's not just one little niche like metal or just rock or something else. It draws people from all different genres, because there is a little blues influence in there. There's the rock influence, there's the metal influence, and every riff that's in there was written with feeling. I mean, when I write riffs for music, I don't just write riffs to write riffs. I write riffs that I feel, hooks that I feel, and it's got to really, like, make the hair stand up on the back of your neck kind of a thing. You know, it's like, I know when I got those sweet spots in the groove, and that's what I incorporate into my choruses, into my verses, the breakdowns. I try to get the whole thing woven together. So it's a feeling that you have. It's not just music. It's you feel the music, and that's important. You've got to feel those hooks. That's what the hooks are, you know? And the same with the lyrics. When I write lyrics, 90% of the time, I write the lyrics after I've done all the riffs. And the choruses, everything, they fall together. But I start out with the first line. First line is always the hardest line when I write, because it sets the pace for everything to follow. And then it just starts flowing like water. And it's very, it's a little bit of poetry. But it always tells a story almost every time. I don't want to just write ridiculous sentences, you know, just to fill the void with vocals. You know, I want it to tell a story. If you wrote it as poetry or just as a story, it has a beginning and an end usually.
My photography and my video is I try to look at things as a voyeur in letting people see the world through my camera. I see that same thing in your music. I mean, people are able to come into where you were and experience that, or, you know, relate things to their lives. What's your trick to letting people see that?
Well, like in the song Serial Killer, I'm not a killer. I've never killed anybody. But just as when you're an actor, you know, you act, you kill people in the movie, that doesn't make you a killer. But you have to be into that part. You have to become that person. And when I wrote that song, I really had to get deep into the character of this serial killer that was telling the story in his lyrics. And if you listen to the lyrics in that song, that's what it is. This is a guy that, he's a killer. He doesn't necessarily want to be a killer. He can't help it. The demons take over, and he does what he does. It's not like he's looking for this to happen. It happens, and he tells it as the story comes out. When you're listening to the song, it's very evident that he's almost a victim of himself.
Wow. See, and I think that's the magic that all your songs have is you let people see it from the real thing. I mean, the real deal. The you know, what's in the mind of a serial killer. I mean, who knows that? And
yeah, I tell you, I've been in some places. I've been around some people that were that kind of people. And it emanates out of some of them. It just emanates so bad. I mean, you can feel it before they even say anything. And then there's others that they're like multiple personality type of people. They would be the nicest people in the world, but the other side of them is the homicidal side that flips. And it's like they're the most dangerous ones because they're a chameleon. And you can never trust people like that. But I've been in situations with a lot of people that are that type of people, both those kind of killers. And to try to put your mind in that place is, it takes a minute to get there. And if you want to write something that's believable with that feeling, you have to get your mind there. You have to be that person to do it.
That's a scary thing to attempt to get into a place like that and get out.
Yeah, I tell you, I remember specifically when I did that, and I remember the feeling I had, and it wasn't a good feeling, let me tell you. I wouldn't be proud to think like that on a daily basis, let me tell you.
Well, there's not too many writers that are going to be able to come up with the music that you have, and again, I think that's probably the biggest part of listening to your CD that's out right now, that it's just every song on there. I mean, I instantly bought the CD, and there's not a song on there I don't like.
We've got a really, really good team of players right now. Without even having a bunch of rehearsals under our belt, we can go out and play shows, and we did. And a lot of the time you take players, you're going to have to play at least 7, 8, 9 rehearsals together before they're actually tight enough to go out in public. We didn't even need to do that in this case.
Yeah, I saw you guys on your second show, and I was hooked right then and there. Like I said, I think I even really got in trouble because I didn't photograph any other bands, but with you guys. But it pretty much paid off, and I think the other thing I liked about Attica 7 is that it was so cool to see you guys after you perform. You're at the merch booth, and you're there till the time you guys leave. I mean, you were there with a solid line of fans taking pictures and signing autographs. And I mean, you, to me, that's a true rock star. I mean, you were passionate. It's like you guys, if you could afford it, would go out there and play for free, you know, just to play that music. I mean, that's kind of what I got from that.
Yeah, if it was just about the money, we would have quit doing this a long time ago. I would have quit way before I hooked up with the lineup that we have now. Money has nothing to do with it. and the fans, they're the most important, and we really appreciate it when we see these fans that come from 100 miles away or more to see the show, you know, stay at motels, and that's really true fans, and we're going to do everything we can to make that experience as good as we can for them. And when the show's over with, we're going to spend time with them. We're going to sign autographs, give them merch, you know, sell them merch, give them merch, everything. You know, we're going to make the experience as best we can for them.
It was funny watching you guys, you know, have fun with this, where you were throwing out the shot glasses and people were catching them as they're going by. And,
yeah.
And, you know, the parts that a lot of the fans don't get an opportunity to see, like, well, you know, the rock star life where you're living in truck stops and things like that. But and you even had on your tour manager, Al. Wasn't there a couple of episodes with him where some funny things happened there with truck stops?
There's episodes with Al all the time. I'm talking with him daily, man. He's great entertainment. Yeah, I left him at least one truck stop. I actually sent him out to check the rear tire one time, and while he was out there, I locked the door, drove off, and left him at the truck stop. Hey, Al, come up here, will you?
What's up, Rusty?
I think that rear tire is low, man. Would you check that back, the tag axle?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, man, thanks.
Hey, shut that door when you get out, will you?
We're going to leave his ass again, man. I got to lock this door.
I can't believe he left his ass.
I remember another time at another truck stop, he was outside doing whatever, fueling or something, and I took off, and he actually ran, jumped up on the mirror of the bumper and held onto the thing, so I couldn't get rid of him that time. I had to stop and let him in. And I think at another venue, we were backing out, and I had him help back the bus out. He was guiding me as soon as I got out, just took off. And I heard these, I had the door open still while I was driving. It sounded like Fred Flintstone trying to catch the bus with those heavy feet. I said, damn, this guy can run, man. I had no clue he could run like that. I finally let him in that time, too. He deserved it. You know, he had to run quite a ways, you know. So.
You know, musically or through life in itself, if you could go back in time and change something, what would you change?
You know, it's funny because you say that, like, you know, I've thought about this many times. I would love to change the mistakes I made that sent me to prison. But then I think if I changed what sent me to prison the last time, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I'd be going in a whole other direction. So I took a very bad experience that happened to me in 1999, and I turned it into a good thing. I took everything I had to work with, flipped it. And because of that, I'm so happy with everything I'm doing, I don't want to change that. And I would have to take that back, because there's really not much that I regret since I've been released. It's all been a pretty good trip.
Your bike building, I mean, this shop is, I mean, you're sitting in front of an $80,000
yeah.
bike right there, and your bikes are amazing. Where's that going to go with Attica 7, you know, taking off?
You know, I look at what I have going on here like a triangle. It's like the devil's triangle. I've got Illusion, I've got the music, and I've got the TV. And it's all interlinked, and they all work for each other. So what one does pulls the other up, and they're all connected all the time. And I love it. It's a great cross-promotional type of a thing. Personal branding, bands brand, bikes brand, everything's doing well. So the better the music does, I think the better the bike business will do.
And the TV, Sons of Anarchy, that's a huge, huge show. I mean, how did that happen?
You know, it's just that was luck. You know, Kurt Sutter's a great guy. I really like him. He started that show 5 years ago. And he's a smart guy. He went out and did his homework. He came by here. He's visited many Hells Angels. He wanted to go to the top of the food chain and learn about clubs, and he did. And it's a drama. You know, it's not real, but it can't be real. If you're going to be entertaining, you have to be dramatic. You have to have a lot of that stuff going on. That's what people need to not lose focus of. You know, it's a fantasy, but it's great. You know, but he did a lot of work in reality so that he could have the most realistic of fantasies. And look at it. It's a cult following, man. The thing's crazy. It's over 5 million people regularly watching this. I'm honored to be part of it.
I've had the incredible fortune to travel with you guys on the road for what seems to be months, but it's only been a couple weeks.
Yeah, with you, you wear on us a lot. It does. It seems like yours to me, you know what I mean?
I don't make too many mistakes, but the ones I do make are pretty big, so.
Oh, like leaving me in a truck stop? Yeah, that was a good one. At 4 in the morning, I think it was?
Yeah, it was pretty cool,
oh,
too.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I felt pretty
good. I'm glad I had my phone with me. That's all I could say. Or you guys would have been all the way to L.A. before you figured, hey, where's Rusty at?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to put footage of that up there, so. But one of the things that I noticed is that everything that you do, whether you're driving a bus or orchestrating the band and your organizational skills and your leadership skills and when we go places, like last night at the Rainbow, after you played at the Key Club, I mean, they closed the place down, but you and your few select friends were allowed to stay. Something about you is just you know, people love. You know, what do you think that is?
I just try to treat everybody the way that I want to be treated. And I look at people, you know, and I give them the equal respect that they deserve. And there's so many people out there that feel entitled to take. You know what I mean? And I hate that. Nobody's entitled like that. You should treat everybody the way that you want to be treated, because when somebody treats you bad with disrespect, you're not happy. And the people you treat bad feel the same way. It's no different. Nobody's entitled to treat anybody bad that doesn't deserve it, you know? So treat people the way they deserve to be treated, you know? And people, they'll appreciate that. That's all. Just being fair, man. Consequences are the most important thing to think about. Everybody, the action that you do, whether it be good or bad, always has consequences. If you do negative action, there's negative consequences. The bigger the action, the bigger the consequence. And those consequences don't go away. The action takes 2 seconds. We're all capable of all types of violence, all types of good, all types of bad. Anybody, I mean, from the smallest person, it doesn't matter your size. It matters your will to do it. And there's a lot of people out there, and they say, I don't care, I don't give a fuck. Well, you know what? You're going to care when you get nailed. You're going to care when you pay those consequences. Because all this stuff out here, you've never done time, been locked away in cells for a long time. You have no idea the consequence. And the people that have done it and say, oh, it ain't shit, well, I don't even fuck those guys. Their opinion doesn't matter anyway. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. What's it like being in a little cell, solitary?
You know, you get used to it, I'm sad to say, but you have to. If you don't get used to it, you're not going to survive. You're going to go nuts. People are adaptable. You can do just about anything, and over time, somebody's going to be adapting to whatever it is, you know, whether it be torture. In this day and age, there's not physical torture, but they've refined mental torture to a fine art. And if you've got the government pissed off at you, they have many ways to mentally break you down. And they'll try, you know. And if you're strong, you won't be broke down, but you're not going to have a good time while they're trying.
Absolutely. Attica 7, it's www.attica7.com. We got some great stuff coming up in the future, you think, here?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm real excited about what's going on right now. I don't want to get into the details because it hasn't happened yet, and it's not good to talk about things that haven't happened yet with certainty, but we've got some good things coming up in 2015, and I think you guys will be seeing us in many places.
Okay, so right now your fans can get CD on your website,
They can go to our website. They can go to iTunes, Amazon. I think FYE or FYI, one of those stores, and Best Buy.
Best Buy?
Yeah.
All right. And merchandise, shirts, things like that?
We got shirts, CDs, hats, posters, and the stuff's growing. You know, it's kind of in the infancy right now.
Music videos on the coming up?
Yeah, we do have one music video for Serial Killer that's done right now. I don't know if we're going to re-edit it. It's a good video, but I want to have a great video. So we'll see what happens there. We have plans for a series of videos coming up here within the next 2 to 3 months.
Fantastic. All right. Well, the fans are going to be in for a treat. I mean, like I said, I've been fortunate enough to travel with you guys, and you are my ultimate favorite. I've listened to a lot of bands, been with a lot of bands, but when people ask me what was your favorite tour, I'm going to have to say Attica 7.
Right on, man. You want me to pay you now? Well, I left my wallet.
Check would be fine.
My wallet's at home, sorry, man.
Actually, I was thinking about a new bike. I mean, that one behind you looks pretty
what?
Good. So. A new bike.
What?
Bike.
I can't hear you. What?
Motorcycle.
Huh? I can't hear, man. I've been playing so much, I can't hear.
That thing behind you lit up really
beautiful.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
My sight's getting messed up too, man. I got to start getting reps.
Yeah.
I'm Rusty Coons with the band Attica 7, and you've been watching Rock Viz Magazine. Yeah.
Great. We're out. That's a wrap. Thank you very much, sir.
Well, hello, everybody. That was by special request, and just want to say that I happen to know Rusty personally, and calls me the little guy. So people have told me that means he likes you. So that's a plus on my side. But let me get to this one here. Hello there. You're on mute.
Oh, are you talking to me?
Well, you're the only one unmuted, dear.
Oh, okay. How are you?
Good. Long day. Been hit the door about 20, not even 45 minutes ago.
Really?
I had a lot of shit, important shit I had to do today at work. But, I got a request. Somebody asked for that, and I don't turn that person down when he sends me something.
Aha.
Mm-hmm. And we have Eunice is on deck, George is on deck, and we got a caller from Decatur, Champaign, Illinois, somewhere around there. Let me see. Last time we talked to him, he just wanted to listen. Did you just want 217? Did you just want to listen, or did you have a comment? I think he just wants to listen. So, yeah, it was, the ride was okay. Cleared my head. A lot of stress today. Nothing else really going on. I was going to talk about, tonight's topic was going to be the new federal database to track your financial records. Did you know about that?
The what?
The new federal database to track your financial information.
Oh, no, I didn't know about that. I knew a little bit about that.
Well, basically what it is over 200 million people are going to be compelled to disclose their intimate financial details, including Social Security numbers, into a new national database, and it's currently being assembled by the Federal Housing Finance Agency and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So if it's anything like Obamacare, you're going to get fucked, because the criminal hackers are sure to enjoy the potential information they might extract from this database, such as your mortgage owner's name, address, Social Security number, any credit card or loan information, including account balances, your mortgage holder's entire credit history, demographic data including race, gender, marital status, religion, education, unemployment history, military status, etc. Of course, anyone with communist ideals in the government would certainly welcome a database where the personal Financial information of all Americans is in one easy, convenient location. They're gonna manage this database with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which that sounds like a clusterfuck from the get-go. What do you think? Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So what do you think? What do you think about that?
I didn't hear quite everything.
Oh. Well,
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Between the Federal Housing Agency and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, it's gonna be a clusterfuck. And they posted an April 16th Federal Register notice of an expansion of their joint national mortgage database program to include personally identifiable information that reveals actual users, reversal of previous stated policy. So, yeah, like I said, they're monitoring 95% of the mortgage transactions now. So what do they need this for if they're monitoring 95% already? You know, like in a letter dated May 15th to the director, both directors, Texas and Idaho senators, this expansion represents an unwarranted intrusion in the private lives of ordinary Americans. And one's the ranking Republican in the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee. The other one is the House Financial Services Committee Chairman. They warn the new database is vulnerable to cyber attacks that could put private information about millions of consumers at risk. So you know what happened with Target. Same shit. It's going to be a fucking nightmare. If you think if you got problems with your credit now, your credit report, wait. But that's coming down the road. That's they're looking to set that off the beginning of next year. Let me see what what's up, George?
Hey, not a whole bunch, but how's your day?
Long and tiring.
Yep. Yeah, pretty nice day over here on the right coast. Not too bad. Supposed to get a bunch of rain tonight, but whatever. Yeah, it's kind of messed up. You know, they're gonna have to be able to lock everybody down. That's what it seems like. You know, there'll be too many. The way this government operates, you know, let's freeze everybody's accounts. We're using your money. Some fucked up shit will really happen with this. Or you'll get some pissed off, some disgruntled government employee, a little too much power, fucking people's lives up, as they do already. You know, the government wants to have total control of us. You know
I just, for years, I never had direct deposit, and I finally got talked into it not too long ago. And sometimes it's convenient, sometimes it's not. But yeah, I feel like the bank. I have to be with the, you know, going to the bank is like going or waiting in the emergency room. It takes forever.
Yep.
That's why I never did it.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know this.
But a lot of places force you now to do direct deposit. You know, I mean, if you are retired or you're on assistance or you're disabled, I know a couple of the stores here in the city, they don't even give you a paycheck. If you're not doing direct deposit, they give you like a prepaid debit type deal that your check goes on. So, you know, they're on their way to probably eliminating any type of check distribution altogether because they can keep track of every purchase you spend.
Well, that's all they call all these rewards cards. You know, all they're doing is they're tracking all the purchases you make, and if they've got your email address, you'll get ads from Kraft Food or...
But
you know,
you get more junk mail than you ever get. But
hell yeah.
They want to see how much gas you use. They want to see, basically, your insurance company is involved in that too, because if you travel less than 35 miles to and from your job, you get a break in your insurance.
I was talking with the guy, the forensic examiner there that did the examination on my phone. He's a retired Rhode Island State Trooper. I was talking with him the other day, and I don't know if it's nationwide or if it's just around here. He said he's learned more now by some of these social media sites like Bay State Examiner. As a matter of fact, he had mentioned them. He's talking about vehicles, driving vehicles. You know, people get pulled over for unregistered vehicle. He said this guy's driving down. He gave me a for instance. One of the cases, this guy's driving down the street, bought a car, doesn't put plates on it, nothing. Driving down the street, he has absolutely no driver's license. This son of a bitch, he got pulled over, he got away with it. There's actually a law somewhere stating that it's a right for us to have transportation. It's not a privilege, as they say over here. And something about the license, I'm not sure exactly what it was. I want to check up on that some more. It's only until you register that car. If you register that car,
right?
Everything changes.
You're absolutely right. It's under the freedom to travel.
Yeah. And like this is somebody. Like I said, he was 20 year. Officer thought he said, wow. He said, now that I think back, he's coming to realize he was doing a job where he had to follow the rules, not so much laws that were made that people really don't realize that these laws are illegal. A lot of these laws are illegal. You know, the state of Massachusetts, every man is still on the books, too. Every man is, if they go to church on Sunday, they're supposed to have a long barrel with them.
Right. There's all kinds of there's a thing on the blog about stupid laws.
Yep. Yeah, they're antiquated, but if they've never been taken off of the law book, you know, you got to fight.
It's like I told you, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Yes, sir. Talked to some politicians around here past 2 days. And I put a call into the Attorney General's office over here. This was the second call. I'm still waiting on a return. If I call too many times, I'll be put on the fucking zero list like the FBI says. He's, wow, you call 4 times, I'm surprised you're not on that zero list. Well, we don't even fuck with you. It's like fucking yo-yos anyways. As far as a march over here, as long as we're not blocking doors, we're not impeding traffic. We,
Did you get that in writing? Did you get that in writing?
No, I didn't. But I spoke with a lot of the people from Occupy Boston, some of the organizers, and some people from MassCop Buck who want to gather a bunch of people. They've been there, done that, you know. Our city hall sits on an overpass. It rides over 195.
It's the only one in the United States of America that goes across a main highway.
Yeah, and you see the doors on this place. I mean, you have to climb actually about almost 2 stories to get up into it, and the staircases are all they're on 3 sides. The side that we would be on, it's actually a big plaza, and there would be no problem.
Is there anything posted that says no loitering?
Nope, negative.
You look. Checked.
Big public plaza.
Okay. Even still, big public plaza. They still. You better check before you guys do it, just in case they put the signs up.
Yeah.
Immediately the signs appeared. They can take some pictures of where you guys are going to do that before you go do it, like today or tomorrow. Take some pictures of the area.
Well, it's not going to be for a little bit. It's got to be done on a Tuesday night. That's a city council meeting night.
Okay.
I want to get ahead of time. Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely,
they come out and pull some bullshit on you. You say, well, when did you guys post the signs? Because they weren't here on this day. They weren't here the next day.
But I got you fine.
Conveniently, they're here the day we came.
Yep, I get you fine.
Okay.
Yeah, because we want to, I mean, like I was talking with Maya and Andrew from Mass Cop Block and Bay State Examiner, and they've got a crew of people. They're big on the activist scene up around the Boston area, and they've, you know, they can bring busloads. And that's sweet. You know, I put in a call to NECN, New England Cable News Network, tonight. And just so happens that the guy who answered the phone, he works over at Channel, he was working over at Channel 10 over here. NECN's an NBC-owned affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked on my story with Sierra Putnam. But he gave me Parker Gavigan's direct number. Plus, I've dealt with Parker before, but I don't know what he's been doing. I don't know what he's been doing. And he emailed him because I explained to him the rest of the story. I sent him over to the other site where the paperwork was available, and he's like, "Oh no shit." So, and Parker's another. He don't care about the cops. He's not scared. They none of them scare him. You know.
Right.
So I should be hearing something from him the next couple of days. Still hit the radio, local radio here and there.
Hey, George, I just sent Phil a picture of the City Hall over the overpass so he can get a general idea
of
what you're talking about.
Yep.
I see it, yeah.
Yeah, that plaza that's in the front, you see, there's no obstructing anything there. That's a main street. One side is South Main, one side is North Main. And I don't know if he can see the bridge there.
He can see everything.
That's the longest bridge in the world, Phil. It goes from Somerset, Mass, all the way over to Little Portugal.
Wow.
That's what we're known as here, Little Portugal.
But the thing is, Phil, is that City Hall was caving into the highway. They had to rebuild that whole overpass over the past couple
of
years.
I was just looking at that underneath.
Yeah,
yep, they rebuilt it. I mean, we're talking like major crack in the foundation, everything. Every time I went underneath it, while they were doing work, I'm like, oh, God, please not today. Don't let this fall on me.
What wasn't long after they built it. I mean, you'd be driving, you see concrete sitting on the side. It's like, wow. And this is like pieces of concrete like a 5-gallon pail will look like.
Yeah, the thing that gets me is it's right there on the ocean, so you're looking at, like, erosion from the salt air and damp and stuff, and I just wonder to myself all the time, what idiot came up with this idea to put a city hall over, you know, the highway? I just don't understand that.
Then all the leaky pipes and everything else, and...
Yep.
It is what it is. We had a beautiful old... historical city hall over here, you know. But hey, they go with times, but still, this city's so screwed up, you know. It is what it is. Just trying to make some changes over here. I definitely want to get something together. I just want to put everything to the side and really not think about the shit that's going on. But I'll be hanging around down my friend's hair salon, and I'm out front. You know, I'm not even cop blocked out or anything like that. No. Hey, you look good in the paper. Hey, yo, woke people, get behind. No, I had a few people stopping and talking that I didn't know who they were.
You should have had a sign for your defense fund.
Yeah, I hear you. I've thought about that. But
just go there. GoFundMe. Fill it out.
For protest signs or whatever. I mean, I'm not looking for. I'm living. I'm doing. I'm surviving here. But I mean, to fight the cause. I need the people behind me. And the exposure to the other people. It's not just. This isn't my cause. This is everybody's. And it's just these people understanding. It happened to me. It happened to that guy. It's never going to happen to me. I never thought something stupid like that had happened to me. So, you know. But, like I say, thank God for the social media and me having a big mouth. But, you know, trying to be sensible, you know, think twice before I put it out there and, to wake the people up. And if I got to go to every single city council meeting or any meeting that has public input and speak my mind, people are going to realize.
George, are you outside?
Yeah, I just stepped outside.
Hey, do me a favor. It's too much
background
noise.
I'm back inside.
I can't hear what you're saying.
Oh, I said, yeah, people, I keep going to the city council meetings. See, I'm getting, personally, a lot of the people young and old are seeing this now. I'm working on another letter for our view in the Fall River Herald News. They usually don't beat up my letters. What I put in there, they do print. people got to understand this isn't just that's his problem deal. This is everybody's problem. When we've got government officials, we've got cops lying, blatantly lying, obstructing justice, false police reports, misleading the investigators, pointing fingers back at me. This could be anybody out there. This could be anybody else, Fall River, Mass, California, New York, Wisconsin, wherever.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people, they sit back, like I hear what people, you're a hero. I'm not a hero. I'm not, it took a lot to wake me up. Otherwise, before I might have been just saying, yeah, fuck you too, buddy, But, you see all this shit. The other night at the finance meeting, I had some veterans. There was a bunch of veterans there because they're trying to make a lot of cuts over here. And I thanked every one of them. These are like 70, 60, 70-year-old people. I wasn't able to serve. I tried to get into the Navy, and I had a motor vehicle charge pending. They were letting so many people in per year without a high school diploma. And I took the test down to a recruiting office. Then I went to Providence, Rhode Island, and took the other test. A guy comes over to me. He says, "You don't have a diploma?" I said, "No." He said, "You did better than about 80% of the people here with diplomas."
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to go up to Boston for the, that was that boom. Oh, yeah, okay, now they're going to bring us up to Boston. We all got to meet down at the recruiting office. Oh, George Thompson? No, don't bring him. He's got a record. Yeah, I almost ended up with another charge. I put a hole in the wall. I just punched the wall, and it was like I was so irate. I mean, you got people that go just because they're kind of pushed to. This is something I really wanted to do, and I'm aware.
Well, you know how I talk about Australia all the time. What's going on there this way?
Yep.
Today, right now, this is about 10 minutes old. But Obama just doubled down on the confiscation by praising Australia's gun laws. Not wishing to let a tragedy go to waste, Obama on Tuesday, as well as Wednesday and Thursday, retracted to recent highly publicized shootings in California, Nevada, and Oregon by telling an internet audience the United States should emulate Australia's infamous assault weapons ban. Here we go again. He says, "I've got 2.5 years left. My biggest frustration so far is the fact that society has not been willing to take some basic steps to keep keep guns out of the hands of the people who can do just unbelievable damage. Who? The ones you push over the fucking edge? We're the only developed country on Earth where this happens. That's not true. It happens all over the place. Hear about it like you hear about it here.
You know, something they've got to do, and my buddy Dylan brought it up on RT television there. I don't know if you get that link to the... he's kind of promoting them, Black and Blue movie a little bit. You get a lot of these people coming back from these wars, PTSD, you know. They've been out in combat for so long, and they come back, and some of them, their jobs have been given up or whatever. Yeah, how many of these guys who've been out fucking shooting people and killing people are becoming police officers? You know, they come back and they figure, hey, boom, they hand them a gun, they hand them a badge. Half of these, you know, I can't say half of them, I don't know the percentage. It's like with NUM, with the Agent Orange shit. They're fine 1 minute, but they're not the next. You know, I had an old boss who every day that if it was a rainy, dismal morning, you did not want to work around this guy. This guy was fucking out there, you know, and you can't blame the person, you know, but, you know, it's kind of scary. The police departments, and then if your IQ is too high, they don't want them. They don't want people to be a dead.
It's just like a friend of mine and I got pulled over by Homeland Security in Arizona, and they wanted nothing to do with him. They came right after me. So at the end of everything that happened, and I got a warning ticket from the Department of Homeland Security, and Bernie proceeded to tell him, well, you know, if you guys were smart, if you'd have got 10 more points on the fucking exam, you could have been a fireman. Now, you got to imagine two guys, one guy with an M16 and the other guy with a shotgun pointed at me, telling me if I move, I'm going to get shot. We're passing on the right. Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as, where's the gun? It says you're allowed to carry a gun. Where is it? My left arm. Is it loaded? Well, yeah. Why the fuck would I carry an unloaded gun?
You got to do like this. I think it was on copblock.org. They show this guy at a border patrol, border crossing. Fucking guy come up, ready to fuck with him. Dude started preaching the Bible to him. He said, quickest way of getting out of the checkpoint. He started preaching to the border patrol guy. Never seen somebody get through so quick.
Yeah, they had, the other night they had five checkpoints going on in one shot. And when I put that information out there for people, everybody was on my ass about why am I so against the cops. It's not that I'm against the cops. I've never been against the cops. Bill's not against the cops. We're against the guys that abuse their badge.
Right. You know, checkpoints, you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. You don't have to. You crack your vehicle, ask them if you're free to go. You know.
Sometimes they do. They do just what they want to do, but.
Absolutely. Put your camera, your camera phone. As soon as they come up, crack your window just a bit. You know, make sure the camera's rolling. Make sure that they're aware of it. And you'd be surprised. They'll talk to you. Most of the time, they'll talk to you a little bit more sensible when they know they're being covered. You know, and it's scaring them. That's what the thing with people videotaping cops. They get scared, but they don't realize that may save your life. That may save their life sometimes. Somebody may be videotaping and somebody fucking shoots him dead. And maybe that'll put away that son of a bitch. You know?
Yeah.
But it also, you know, it scares them because, well, gee, you know, it keeps them in check more. You know, I don't know if it's San Bernardino or one of them counties out there, the police abuse numbers are down unbelievable. You know, people are keeping people,
That's up by San Francisco. San Jose did that. San Jose bought for other guys.
You know.
And everything's gone down 50%.
Well, as long as it's, I mean, you look at L.A., how many L.A. cruises, and I think they had body cams, but they were being tampered with.
Right. I'm going to tell you right off the get-go. All right, I experienced this with seven guys in front of a movie theater with the show letting out with 300 people coming out watching this shit. And you can clear me hollering that I do not give up my rights. My recorder's sitting on the bike. They picked it up. Batteries threw it in my saddlebag after they went through my saddlebag. And it proceeded to this shit all up. And then when I went to court, before I could say a word, the judge said it's going to be dismissed in the interest of justice. So all the stuff that they had taken from me, I asked for a writ to get it all back, and then 2 weeks later I had to go back and get another writ to get the bullets they took.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was looking, trying to look back at my page here. There's somewhere that's trying to assess fees, arrest fees on people. Even if you found innocent.
Chicago. Yeah, Chicago's going to charge you for getting arrested now.
Gotta love it.
They say they're not collecting enough taxes, so they're doing it. They're doing it so they can get money. That's why they're charging $25 for the paperwork. California's been doing that for a while now. You pay $25.
Well, Florida charges a booking fee, but I mean, if you're innocent, fuck you. You know. That's like over here when I get arrested and they're talking public defender fees and bail. I said, Your Honor, I said, let me tell you something. I said, no disrespect. I let the judge talk. The judge was having his say. And this was in between. They had appointed me one public defender. If I would have kept him, I'd be in fucking jail right now. Guy just come out. I think he just come out of school. Wasn't even paper trained. But I said, Your Honor, I said, let me tell you something. I was trying to give him paperwork stating that all these charges are bullshit. They still didn't want to hear it. I said, can I speak? He said, yeah. Well, it's like, look, I am not paying any lawyer fees. Because the district attorney was saying, well, he owes this $150 for this. If he changes it, they're gonna tag on another $150. You're not going to get fucking paid from me. I said, let me tell you something. I will not ever do any pick and stick on the side of a highway or paint fences or whatever, public service, community service. I will never pay for something that is a First Amendment protected right. Mm-hmm. You know, my rights are being violated and you're going to make me pay to defend my innocence? Negative. The whole courthouse is like, you know, you heard everybody breathe in. It's like, psh. You people are fucking nuts.
Well, here, just imagine this. You're standing there with your attorney talking, court starts. He's going to go down to another department because he's got two guys that he's defended are getting sentenced today. So my turn comes up to go up to the podium. I get up there and the guy says, where's your lawyer? I said, well, he went to Department 5. He's getting, two guys are getting sentenced today. Well, I want him here. So he tells the chick, the clerk, to pull over there and have him send him back. In the meantime, I'm texting him. There's a lawyer sitting across from me. He texts him. He gets up and says he's going to represent me. So we go back up there. Now, to my right, eight attorneys. Behind me is about 50 people waiting for their case. And off to the left is about 25 CHP, city police, and the sheriffs. So he proceeds to chastise me about, well, what kind of bike is that? I said, it's a Harley. I said, what model? I said, an FXDX. He said, you know, those are well capable of going over 100 miles an hour. I said, not that day. And everybody bust out fucking laughing. Turned redder than the fucking shirt I had on.
Nice.
But that motherfucker made me wait 2.5 hours in the hallway to get my paperwork.
right, so I can leave. Oh yeah, they'll bust you both. Hey, when I went down to pick up my camera phone, the little motherfucker that came down with it, Konoski, old Mr. Switchblade. He said, "So, you got a picture ID on you?" Excuse me? I smoked about 10 minutes before I went there. Fuck, I knew I was going to need it. Dude says, "I need a picture ID." I said, "You're fucking with me." "No, I need a picture ID." So I looked at the guy in the front window. I said, "Can you pull up my file, please? Pull up my record. Show him that's who I am." "No," but he points over toward the record room, "but you can go over there and pay $5 for one." I'm like, "Suck my dick, buddy." I said, "Are you fine?" He said, "You put on." I said, "That's okay. I knew I had one in my pocket, but I'm just trying to." Why should I need a picture ID. Every fucking cop here knows me.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna enforce the rules on you.
That's okay. Have you watched the video of the cops breaking all the open records rules? I posted it. I think I sent it to you, Stace.
It's a link.
Yeah. It shows the cop with he pulls out a switchblade. He's gonna open up the fucking the pack with my phone in it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him. I said, "That's the switchblade." Boom. He couldn't run out of that room quick enough. He comes back in with a pair of scissors, bright blue handles. He opens up the package. Look at that shit, you know. We got cops refusing to abide by the open record rule, open record law. Got it all on the video. You know. Then Sergeant Fucktato there, that guy is such a fucking loser. You know, he was down at the meeting the other night with the chief, standing out in the hallway looking at me, kept giving him the bird. "You fucking loser, I swear to God." You know, I thank God it's not back in the day, because it should be ugly right now. I'm a better man though, because I'm gonna hurt him and I'm gonna be that rash that you can't get rid of. You know, and not gonna blow up, not gonna get out of hand with him. But I'm gonna be. You want to play games? Games on, motherfucker. I play chess all the time, and I don't lose too many times. You know. But playing with these people, it's like, you know, they should be washing windows over at fucking Wendy's or something, you know, that and the trash barrels.
Yeah.
Hey, not to take away from the subject that you guys are talking about, but I had read an article, Phil, and I should have researched it a little bit better before I bring it to light, but you might know something about it. They're saying, like, people who do selfies all the time, a.k.a. the famous picture every hour on the hour of everything you're doing, they're actually storing those in a database and identifying you with a file, et cetera. You know, but I had read something briefly that caught my eye, time to, like, really dig in it. And, you know, I'm wondering, like myself, I was unaware if how many more people are unaware, you know, with every picture they post, they're stockpiling it and making a file on you. You know, it just, I know, like, some things they do, but, you know, when I briefly read on that, I was like, Jesus Christ, you know, the days of privacy, which privacy was set to George. It's completely, completely gone, and, you know, everything, and it doesn't matter what you do.
When you got your phone on speaker, you're getting a lot of reverb.
Is it me? Right. Yeah.
That might have been me. I was up near it.
How's that?
Okay.
Okay.
But, yeah, they do that. Just like the federal database now that does facial recognition.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I think that's almost what it was titled, the article, because I remember reading that, what you just said, facial recognition, and how they were attaching the pictures to files they had on people.
Yeah, Shit, they can look inside your house now. I mean, if you've gone on certain sites or somebody, you know, a certain place has dropped a certain cookie in your computer, you know, like some people leave their computers online all the time. People, they've shown where people are just accessing your computer and watching you through your webcam.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I've seen that about the baby. I know when that first came to light, they were doing a thing on the baby monitors that they have in people's houses, and this is going back a couple of years ago, that people were able to tap into those, you know, monitors that you monitor your children with and stuff, and, like, that freaked me out. But, like, now it doesn't freak me out because so much is out there about, you know, the invasion of your privacy. And, you know, it's just...
George, I just sent you a picture of who's invading my privacy right now as we speak.
Oh, God, do they have clothes on?
You know what I'm talking about, Stacey.
Well, that's what I with you, anything's possible, but usually when you say something like that, it's usually two hotties washing your bike or something.
Yeah, don't make them a bad person.
I'll be doing that Saturday morning.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, oh, that's going to be as normal for the weekend.
Where did you send that, Phil?
Send it to your phone. Give it a minute. The number you're talking to me on now, I sent it to that number.
Oh, no, send it on my Facebook.
Can't do that.
Oh.
Don't have time to do it now.
Oh. No, because this is a line phone.
Equipped Synopsis. It's $387,000 they paid for this thing. There's four guys in it right now. It's parked directly across the street from my house, and they're listening as we speak.
Nice.
Bring them
a fucking cold drink or something.
But no, they won't answer the door.
I keep telling you to feed them, guys.
Answer to the door. I even sent a girl out there in a bikini with high heels on with Pepsis and
nice.
Glasses of ice. Nothing.
You gotta sneak somebody up on them with a can of that fucking expandable foam, got the long straw on it. Put it up beside the tailpipe.
No, I'm not gonna give them a reason to fuck with me any more than they are.
Right.
Yeah.
There's an old saying, you learn to pick your battles. See, I'm sitting down in the house, they're just wasting their fucking time and money. Because I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm doing what I'm entitled to do as a veteran and a United States citizen.
You got it, brother. I wish I had the fucking picture on that phone. Yeah, you gotta love that shit.
Yep.
No. It's like, you know.
There's another report now that Obama's preparing to attack all the veterans. You know, I went to the VA the other day, and a couple of my friends went, and I got some calls. They went and sat down and talked to the doctor, and they're giving away free gun locks. What does that tell you?
Yeah, so you got like another two steps before you got to, you know, before you can defend yourself.
No, you got another two steps before they wait a month or two, and you forgot about it, and they show up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a no-knock warrant and take all your shit.
Right.
But he's getting ready. He's getting ready to attack the veterans. It's his first target against the American populace.
Fucking people who fought for the country, you know. This is...
I'll tell you right now, here, check this out. This guy's Sergeant Major Page. Listen to what he's got to say here. Hang on 1 second, he's loading up.
There's a set of morals in here that we no longer abide by. So I'm going to read something to you, because I don't know who here has heard this. And I'm going to go through this very briefly, and then I'm going to jump right in the middle of this here, and I'm going to tell you where the danger is coming from. So if you can bear with me while I get my 20-year-old eyes working here, it'd be good. Okay? I'm going to read the Declaration of Independence. Has anybody ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Several of you have heard it. We're going to hear it again. But you're going to get it. But you're going to get a command sergeant major's abbreviated reading. It says, we, ladies and gentlemen, mean us, the American people, not some bumbleheads in Washington, D.C. It's us, not them. You're going to find out why I'm a drill sergeant, too. Nice to see 400 or 500 people. I know I got some former Marines in here because I spot. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That does not mean affirmative action. That means we're all equal. And then we work through life to become unequal. Some of us get to be lawyers. Or forth like that, like a car salesman, maybe, I don't know. But we're all equal. God does not respect persons. So we have no business passing hate crime laws. None. Because we're setting aside a group of people special. We've got a Supreme Court out of control with the laws on sodomy.
Yep, they cut them off.
And that's what they are. The word gay just means happy. It does not mean wrong. Ooh, drill sergeant coming out. All created, that all endowed by their creator, that would be Jesus Christ, with certain unalienable rights. What God gives you, ladies and gentlemen, only God can take back. I'm going to get into the definitions of law in just a second. Poor man. Unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, that be us, derived from their just powers from the consent of the governed. That means us. We give them the consent to rule over us. They don't take it. We need to drop some, kick some of them. You might see my killer instinct come out here, certainly, so hold me off here. It tends to come out of me when I get talking about this. Where am I? Consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. That means we can get rid of it. And you're not an extremist by doing it. You have the right. You take the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution is a Christian document. I'm going to read on it. Where is that? Where is that? Somebody done stole the most lethal weapon in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read something to you. That's the only verse I'm going to read it out here, because I don't know who all is here. Okay? But this here is the foundation for this. You can't separate them. I don't know what them black robe perverts don't understand down there. But they need me to talk to them. I'll square them away for you. Take me about a minute. Yeah. And to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizations, powers in such form as to them shall seem likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that government long established should not be changed for light and transient cause. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and assertions pursuing invariably the same objective convinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government.
Yep. He's absolutely right.
Yeah. This government's getting scared they're going to get overthrown. You know? I mean,
hey, Miami, they just had the army and National Guard conducting urban assaults. You know, I got a letter the other day for I'm prohibited to purchase, possess, or have a receipt of any kind of a weapon. I filed that in the round can. But The more, it's basically we're a nation of sheeple. Let the other guy do it.
Nah, fuck that.
No, I know.
You know, if we get them here, grab people one at a time. You know, that's it. You know, people are just so conditioned to listen and obey, and well, yeah, you obey so much.
Yeah, the Department of Homeland Security, their vehicles and support helicopters took over the town of Kalispell, Montana, yesterday. Indiana, there's a sheriff there that he's got a whole bunch of military equipment because the USA is a war zone. So my question to them is who are the police at war with? But Indiana, that's where they passed that law that you could shoot a cop if they don't identify themselves, they come through your front door.
That's fucking nice, ain't it?
Yep.
That is fucking nice. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I lived out in Michigan, because I sat on the South Bend, Indiana, Niles, Michigan line, in Michigan and Indiana back then, if you step foot onto farmland where there's acres and acres of stuff without permission from the farmer, and it's, you know, over here we have state police, we have city police, but out there you have township police, state police, in-town police, and then there's the jail police, the sheriff's department, and they would all tell you, you got shot because of your own foolishness. You didn't belong on the property, and I'll tell you what, some of them farmers, they will come out with the 12-gauge and put it right through the top of your leg. They have no problem with that. And if you're found on the property without permission, yeah, it doesn't fall back on the shooter. It falls back on the person who didn't belong there.
Nice.
Yeah. It's gonna get crazier pretty soon. No, it's just like when there's some scuttlebutt going around about July 1st. It's gonna be a nightmare because the dollar's gonna be devalued and all that shit. And they'll be happy to trade your gold for whatever. Fuck that shit.
Hey, what's up with that couple that was in Chicago, the pizza joint where they killed the cops that went into Walmart? No.
Supposedly, there's a bunch of, they didn't tell the truth about that either.
Yeah, they're talking about, they're trying to bring them back to, oh, this is the Cleve Bundy crew. You know, this is somebody from the Cleve Bundy crew.
Yeah, it's all bullshit.
You know, let's blame it on somebody else, you know. Or you got people talking about also about the open carry, you know, because a lot of these people who have the right to carry weapons, and why shouldn't you be able to carry them out in the open? You know, they're like, oh, I can't believe, you know. I think I'd rather be sitting on the side of them at a restaurant or something. You know, four, five, six people with freaking long arms.
Hey, we had a guy out here pulled up next to a guy walking on the street carrying. He asked him, and this guy said, yeah, I'm a retired first sergeant.
Yep.
So the guy... He told him, put his hands up, and he took the weapon out, and he was trying to clear it, and he fired a fucking round.
Nice. There was a dumbass there in a school, some fucking SWAT dude, he's a black guy, and he's like fucking acting like all big and badass. He was too many episodes of fucking Cops or something.
He shot himself in the thigh.
Yeah, was it the thigh or his foot or something? And he tried to keep cool, keep doing the class. I'm the only one around here qualified. Yeah, you fucking, for a fucking square gun, you need a super shooter. Yeah, what a dumbass, you know. It's days like that when karma comes around, you know. Because how many people has he pulled that gun on, trying to act like, you know, big Billy Badass? You know, there's a difference. You know, the people are paranoid about the guns. It's like, you know, with the guy at Sandy Hook. Just look at the fucking guy. You knew he was nuts.
Yeah.
You knew the fucking guy was nuts. Come on.
They had a list out the other day of all those guys. One of them that's been involved in this shooting. The shooting.
No, the mother bought him the guns. You know? It was probably, I don't know, fucking mother and father, brother and sister, some shit, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, it's just like, you know, I can't believe these people are in Target with, you know, or in Home Depot, and they got rifles. Well, stand near them, you know you're not going to get fucking shot if something goes down. That's probably the safest place.
If you've seen pictures of some of those guys, the way they're dressed,
yeah,
they look like fuckers on a list. That's why people get nervous. I look at it this way. If you're gonna do that and you want to protest, clean yourself up.
Yeah. I mean, just be you. I mean, you got to be you. It could be Joe Suit. It could be tats and beards, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, don't try to be somebody you're not, but could be good. Everybody's got the right. You know, black, white, fucking, whatever. But the people, they get so uptight because of the media coverage on it, the media not being allowed, mainstream media or not being allowed or not wanting to because of shock value, really putting the truth out there on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I get calls. Whenever something happens with the biker community out here, I get a call from one of the stations.
Yep.
Dad rode a bike. Okay, look. What do you want me to do? Well, we'd like to talk to somebody in that club. Well, lady, they just lost 20 of their members, got hit by a stolen car with a Mexican driving who drove the car over the border, and they can't find them now. So I don't think I'm going to call anybody and tell them you want to talk to them. I think
right.
You should wait a couple of days and let everything sink in. Or how are you gonna help those little kids because their parents got killed? Tell me how you're gonna do that. That's what I thought.
Yep.
Remember that, Stacy, when all them guys got killed out there in the desert?
Yeah.
And I had all those reporters calling me, same shit. Now they don't call me, they call Bill. Bill tells them to call me.
Yeah,
yep. In fact, they just had their 1 year anniversary of that the other day. But it's like 7:23. I got to do another 2:30 night tonight. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna take. I want to thank everybody who's listening or listening to tomorrow morning in the archives. But I'm gonna let. We'll be back Tuesday. I'm going to let Everlast take us out with what it's like, and I'll post the show link and stuff for Tuesday. I'll do it over the weekend. And,
all right. Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
That the name of that car, the Holly dealer that refused a payment on the bike? Did you see that post? There was a Holly dealer. Somebody who's overseas that, I think, Stacy, I think you got it, right? You posted it?
Well, that the letter I posted was a dealership that...
refused the payment for the bike storage.
No. If you read it all, it was if you were a veteran and you were involved with the military, that the dealership paid for your storage to store your bike while you were away.
Yeah,
it was a no charge. Yeah.
Bill does it for free.
This is somebody else. I just wanted to know. I'm wondering if anybody knew the name. Hey, so give him a shout out and a big thanks from everybody.
Oh yeah, there's three dealers that I specifically deal with. Those are the only ones that I deal with that I trust.
Yep.
And they're in my friends column. You click on their link, you can go to the dealer. If you mention my name, mention mine or Bill's name, they'll take care of you. You get special treatment.
I just want to say a thanks to them for taking care of the veterans, or the people that are out there.
The guys that come back, that scuttlebutt, and then they're talking about getting a bike. They send them down to see Bill and myself. They walk through the front door. Bill says hello. You can pretty much tell who's who after 12 years of this shit. And we just leave the guy alone. He'll come to you. When he's got questions, they'll come, you know. Bill will say, hey, how you doing? If you need any cold water, it's back there in the corner at the cooler, soda machine, whatever you want, help yourself. And then when they're ready, they'll come talk. But it's just like anything else. I did the same thing when I went in to see Bill. First time I walked into Bill's shop.
Yeah.
Ever since.
I miss that man. Bill, if you're listening, I love you, man.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to let Everlast take it out with what it's like, and I'll talk to everybody Tuesday.
Peace, brother.
All right.